No matter what I do, I just can't lose a single ounce of weight. I do everything right and I get no results. This happens to a lot of people, so we're going to cover all of the most common weight loss mistakes that hold people back. All this and more on episode 62 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. What's going on with you this week, Jeff?
Oh, just another busy, busy week. But you know, we can't get off topic here because I have to know, did you finally make it to the 230s for the first time since you said, what, 2002?
No, I did not. I am just shy. I weighed in this morning about 240.2. Just over that, I'm just a few ounces away from that cool 230 number.
So you're just really a haircut and some manscaping away, right?
Exactly. I'm start trimming things off now.
Well, a half pound in a week, it's better than nothing. But how are your goals this week?
Well, here are the goals. You'll probably figure out why only a half pound in a week. But eating goals are a 3 out of 10 this week. I'm going to give them. I am just right around 5 o'clock. I am just feeling so hungry. Even after that 3:30 snack, it's just like I'm ravenous when I get home for some reason. I can't figure that out quite yet. But exercise goals, another 3 out of 10 probably. And motivation for this week, also again, a 3 out of 10. On the weekend, I sprained my ankle messing around with my kids. What's called a rip stick. I have notoriously weak ankles. When I was in high school, I had to get my ankles taped every day. When I was playing football, because I would sprain my ankle if I didn't have that. And so while pretending I was 10 years old again here on this skateboard, I twisted my ankle. So not so much going on in the exercise department this week.
Well, I think you really have to get back into your motivation. Your motivation isn't just this one week where you sprain your ankle and you feel bad. Your motivation is looking great for your high school reunion in about 100 days. So you have to keep that in your head that this is what my midterm goal is to lose weight for the summer.
Yeah, you know, but I just really have been taken down by the really extreme hunger. You know, I've no other reason. Actually, the one reason I can think of is cutting down totally to zero again on the Diet Coke. And that's the one big thing I've changed in the last couple of weeks. So I'm not drinking that Diet Coke. I think maybe that's causing me just to have a little bit of withdrawal of some kind, or that extra maybe liquid I was taking in is not there, and I just need to be drinking more water, just take the place of that Diet Coke I was drinking.
All right, well, we'll check in next week and see how you're doing. But let's move on to our email and comment section. And our first email is actually a comment on the Fat to Fit Radio website, and it came in from Angie, and she left a comment on the show where we talked with Tom Venuto, and she wrote in part, "When listening to this podcast, I heard that Tom suggested waiting out hunger when you're feeling it between meals. I know when I adjust my calorie intake based on my revised weight goals, I do feel the hunger pains during that first week. My problem is that while my body is adjusting to that lower calorie intake, if I ignore those pains and wait it out, I get really nauseated. Would you suggest eating a small snack of raw veggies or fruit to keep that feeling at bay? I know the ultimate goal is to get the calories down, but I find that if I ignore the hunger, I get sick and ultimately end up eating more." Kind of like you, Russ.
"You guys have a great show that is designed for the normal, everyday person who is trying to make good choices. You are down to earth and make suggestions that fit the lifestyle of almost everyone. I really appreciate that. Pat yourselves on the back. You do a fabulous job, and thank you very much."
Well, I think, first of all, the ultimate goal isn't to get the calories down to the point where you are hungry. So the real goal is to eat like this thinner person, but thinner people are not necessarily hungry throughout the day.
Yeah, we talk about, you know, eating that calorie level of that thinner person, but if you're eating at a calorie level that you're hungry all the time, you know, do you want to be hungry all the time at your goal weight? I think that's not the idea here. You want to eat at a level where you can sustain that calorie level for, again, the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's right. Because if you are eating at your maintenance level right now and you can live with that, you know, like Russ said, you can live with it for the rest of your life. And this is one point where I disagree a little bit with Tom Venuto about having to be hungry when you lose weight. it's true that when you get close to your goal weight, you might have to eat a little bit less than your maintenance because it's really going to slow down as the calorie difference between what you weigh right now and your maintenance level can get pretty close. But you really shouldn't have to be hungry. If you're not thinking about a diet, but you're thinking, here's the rest of my life, I'm just a thinner person, gets a little bit easier.
But in the meantime, while you are adjusting to that lower calorie level, the idea of eating carrots and celery and maybe even apples, these really high fiber fruits and vegetables that are very low in calorie will get you over those times and not really add too much in the calorie department.
That's right. And the last point that I want to make here is, why do people jump right into a diet and go hardcore right from the start? If you gradually ease into eating these lower calories, your body does adapt to it. Get into the lower calories over a week or two and you won't even notice it. You know, the best dieting is to eat the most amount of good food that you can and not notice that you're losing weight. And all of a sudden, 2 months later, you notice you put on a pair of pants that didn't fit you before or were tight and all of a sudden they fit. That is the ultimate goal. You put on weight most likely like that, so why not take it off in a similar way?
I have to say, from experience, I know that when you've been eating these enormous amounts of food, you've been gaining weight, you're just feeling disgusting, that you don't want to stop right away. You want to just get to that more fit lifestyle, that better lifestyle. You know, and that's not always the best idea. Again, you didn't gain all this weight very quickly, and you're not going to lose it really quickly. Easing into that lifestyle is just going to make it, you know, you're not going to have those same hunger pains that you might just from dropping from, you know, 3,500, 4,000 calories sometimes you might be eating when you're gaining weight to that 1,700, 2,000 calories that, you know, are your maintenance levels that you want to aim for. That's a big jump. 2,000 calories, 1,500 calories, that's as much as Jeff eats in a whole day sometimes. And that's a huge jump. And you want to just taper into that and that lower calorie level and just make everything a lot easier.
That's right. I agree. Well, let's move on to our second email. And this one came from Jillian.
And she wrote, I am 28 years old. I work full time and I'm also a full time college student. When I am not at work, I am at class or studying. Forget about exercising. I rarely have time to myself just to relax. Would it be better to get up and exercise first thing in the morning, or is it okay to try and get a quick cardio workout in the evening? I'm more likely to do that than get up at 5 a.m. to work out. But I would be willing to if that would be more beneficial to my weight loss. I eat right, but I am cursed with a slow metabolism. I know I have to work out to lose weight. I look forward to your advice.
Well, in your situation, you don't have to have the exact perfect workout schedule to get results. The most important thing is that you get in a workout at some point during the day. There's that whole debate over whether you burn more fat when you exercise first thing in the morning before you eat, but in reality, you'll lose weight over the 24-hour period based on your calorie balance during the day. Getting a workout in will not only burn the calories that you did while working out, but it will also get your metabolism moving faster, and it's even good for your mind as well, you know, with all that studying you're doing. I personally work out between 9 to 10 p.m. most of the time because my gym is really busy right now and I just go there to avoid the crowds at that time. I've tried working out in the mornings, but I get too tired in the day. Some people can't sleep right after your workout, so you'll just have to experiment with what works for you. And lastly, I would try to do the workout that is the most efficient for you and burns the most calories. If you use some cardio equipment at a gym, your best bet would be an elliptical trainer, followed by a stair climber, then a treadmill on an incline, and then a bike. Your goal is to burn the most amount of calories in the shortest amount of time, and you want to use the most muscles at the same time. It burns more calories. And if you're really pressed for time, a quick run outside would also work because you won't lose the time going someplace to get in a workout.
Yeah, and I have to add into that, you know, there are other things you can do besides going to the gym and using his equipment. There are, you know, instead of driving to campus, say, ride a bike or walk between classes or run between classes, something that's not, you know, a workout, but you're going to burn more calories than just, you know, walking or, you know, from the parking lot. Park off campus and walk if you have to. I know I had to walk for a half mile to get to class at Long Beach State here, but there are other things you can do besides just working at the gym also.
And another thing, I was just thinking of Obama when he was in his campaign for president. He was very stressed. He was going from city to city on the campaign trail. He still managed to get in his daily workouts, believe it or not. And That makes a huge difference mentally. It can focus your mind a lot better. It relaxes you, and it really gets you ready to efficiently use your mind for studying. So working out is not just for losing weight, especially if you're doing something mentally strenuous.
Yeah, and if you listened to last week's show, you heard a little PSA about that same topic. So I've had that idea here around for a long time.
All right, well, let's move on to our last email. And this email came in from Amanda.
She wrote, "Hi, guys. Loved the last podcast on the glycemic index. Cool. It's one of my favorite topics in weight control, and I liked how you presented it. But in the end, always mentioned that a caloric deficit is what's important. Here's my problem. Using the calculators and tools you list in your show notes, I figured out my maintenance calories now and when at my goal weight. Although I am looking to lose 12 to 14 pounds, the difference in maintenance calories appears to be only 79 calories. At another website that estimates the time it will take you to get to your goal weight given a certain calorie deficit, it said that at a 100 calorie deficit, it will take me until August 2010 to lose my extra weight. Help! I can't wait that long. Why can't I cut a few more calories? Or is it okay to burn a bunch of extra calories? I run and calculated about 3 runs a week into my maintenance calories at both weights. But I could run and burn more, at least an average of 300 calories a day more than I am right now. Would that be okay to lose more weight? Please help. I don't want to lose weight that slowly."
Well, I mentioned earlier in the show that when you get close to your goal weight, and 10 to 14 pounds is actually really close to your goal weight when you look at the maintenance calories, I think it's amazing that you calculated that it's only a 79 calorie difference between what, about 13 pound difference. And if you think you can put on 13 pounds over a number of years just by eating 80 extra calories a day, which is absolutely nothing. That is not even one slice of bread difference. Over time, you will put on that extra 10 pounds or you will lose that extra 10 pounds. It's really so close. The thing is, when you're that close in calories, it's really hard to count that precisely and lose weight that slowly. When you're that close, I would suggest eating a couple hundred calories less. You know, maybe cut off another 200 calories so you're 300 calories below, and then up your exercise by another 300 calories. And right there, you've got around a half pound to a pound per week easily. You think 3,500 calories in a pound. If you have a 500 calorie deficit, which is a combination of eating and exercise, that is a pound a week. Now, it may not happen every week, but it might be 3/4 of a pound 1 week and a half the next week and a pound the next week. But it does all kind of average out.
Now, I would like to have a 79 calorie difference. That's just so small and minute, but really brings back the fact that just a few calories can make a big difference. But I don't think 79 calories either way is going to make. I think you're right about that, Jeff. Getting that extra workout in, adding a little extra calories to the deficit will definitely get her to that goal.
Well, that's right. I was just thinking of that 2-3 rule I talked about quite a few shows ago for homework. If you always walk up 2 flights of stairs or always walk down 3 flights of stairs, if you do a couple flights of stairs like that every day, there you go. That's enough lifestyle change to get you to that thinner size without even changing what you're eating. It's so close. People don't realize that it just takes so little to lose or gain 5 or 10 pounds.
Yep. Well, that's going to do it for our email and comments this week. I want to thank everybody for sending in your questions. If you want to get your question answered or send us a comment, there are a few ways you can do that. And the first one is by leaving a comment on the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
The third one is that voicemail option by clicking on the Call Me button on the website, fattofitradio.com.
Or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, well, let's tackle a couple of news items on the Web Report. What do you have for us this week, Jeff?
Well, I have a really interesting study that's been reported in a couple different places, and it was entitled Morbidly Obese Sedentary for More Than 99% of the Day. Now, this is a study that appeared in Clinical Cardiology just on March 25th, so it's very recent. And it examined the average fitness level of the morbidly obese. Now, morbidly obese, they studied people whose body mass index was between 40 and 50. And Russ, I worked out your numbers, and when we started the show, when you were 296 pounds, you are actually in the morbidly obese category.
I know you said that before we started the podcast here, and I'm glad I didn't know that at that time because I think it would have scared me to death.
I worked out my numbers too, and at my highest weight and for my height, I was around 230 to 235 pounds. At 264 pounds, I would be at a 40 BMI, morbidly obese. So I was around 30 pounds away from that, which was a little shocking for me too, because when I first heard about this story, I'm thinking morbidly obese, I'm thinking 700-800 pound people, but we probably have maybe 15 to 20% of our audience might be close to that range as it is.
Yes, and reading this article a bit, there was something like, what was it, the average or morbidly obese person actually moved less than 10 minutes a day. They actually had any kind of physical activity.
That's right. They tracked these people 24 hours a day to see how much they're moving, and it came out to 99% of the time they weren't doing anything, and that worked out on average that they only moved around for less than 8.5 minutes. In a 24-hour period. So that was just walking to the bathroom, walking to get to the fridge, stuff like that. That was just ridiculous. They all walked less than 2,500 steps per day, and it just really seemed that all they were doing was just sitting, watching TV, or if they had jobs, they were just doing jobs. They were sitting down, working at a computer, and really not doing anything to burn any calories. I think I am just still amazed that in a 24-hour period, 8.5 minutes of moving your body and the rest of the time just sitting pretty much absolutely still. Now, the study continues on and it talks about the risk factors. You know, 5 of the top 10 diseases with the highest mortality rates are related to obesity: cardiovascular disease, stroke, diabetes, hypertension, and cancer. And I think the bottom line about the study is that the average person, as they get larger, they're doing less exercise. It's not talking about the reasons, but I know when I was heavier, you know, if you put 60 pounds on me, my knees hurt, my back hurts. I really am not feeling like doing much exercise. And I realize that when people have how many pounds they have on them, exercise is a lot harder. And I guess one last thing about this study. In their summary, they talked about even light walking in speeds of 1 to 2 miles per hour shows significant health benefits for people. And over time, increasing the amounts of light physical activity can improve aerobic capacity and ultimately reduce mortality. And when you look at a study like this, other studies might talk about which is the most effective way to lose those last couple pounds, but something like this, it's talking about living longer and not dying as a result of obesity, which really kind of hits at home if you look at the big picture. Are you just trying to lose weight to feel a little bit better about yourself? Or maybe in the back of your mind, you might actually live a few years longer. So Russ, what do you have for us this week?
Well, I have 4 kids and two of them are actually 4 years old right now. But I found this study, it's over on yahoo.com, a striking new study. It says, almost 1 in 5 American four-year-olds, that's over 500,000 four-year-olds in this country, are obese. That is a staggering number to me. The study here supplied some numbers also. 13% of Asian children were obese, 21% of black children, 22% of Hispanic children, 16% of the white children were obese, and this was the big one in the study, 31% of American Indians children were in this obese category, and that is just a staggering amount. One of the doctors here cited higher rates of diabetes also in the American Indians and the Hispanics, and the scientists are believed that this may be due to genetic differences, but I think that maybe these two groups, the American Indians and Hispanics, were probably introduced to the processed foods, the latest out of any of these other groups. I think maybe that has the biggest impact on these obesity levels, that they're, you know, getting these cheap foods now, these highly processed foods, while in the past they might have been, you know, having more cultural foods that were not this high fat, real high carbohydrate food. Also here in the study, they mentioned that they are also getting these children out and doing more traditional, and this is particularly talking about the American Indians, they're doing more traditional exercises that go along with being an American Indian, that lifestyle.
Really just getting them back on track to those healthier ways of the past.
Well, let's spin this right around to a positive note and move into our feature section. The feature section this week is entitled, Why Can't I Lose Weight? And I've talked to so many people just in my real life, not just through email, who tell me I've tried everything and no matter what I do, I just can't lose weight. And we're here to tell you that 95% of people who are struggling, these problems are caused by errors that can be fixed. We're going to try and give you a lot of solutions. And I believe that 100% of people can lose weight no matter what. There's not a single person on the planet who will not lose any weight if they were stranded on a desert island with very little to eat. It's true that some people might not lose the same amount of weight over the same amount of time, but everyone will lose weight. A 400-pound person who's been stranded for 2 years will still not weigh 400 pounds. No matter how many diets they have tried and failed in the past, they're stranded on an island, they will lose some weight. So many people believe that it is impossible to lose weight, but many actually do try and honestly believe that they can't. So I'm not saying that people are lazy or anything. We're just here to offer solutions, and we're going to start with our top 8 reasons of why we think people have trouble losing weight.
All right, the first set of reasons here is education. People learn about nutrition in places like elementary school and at an early age, but they don't learn how to eat. They learn, you know, what the basic food groups are. They learn that, you know, you should eat, you know, carbs and proteins and fats, but they don't tell you how much of each food to eat. What's the best ratio for that child and as they grow older, you know, what they need to eat.
And also, most people learn stuff from pop culture. They learn from television and advertisements. And I'm thinking of the show The View. Star Jones lost weight through gastric bypass. Oprah, a number of years ago, lost weight by doing a 1,000-calorie liquid diet. And then you look at the weight loss shows, like The Biggest Loser, where they have all these little product placements in there where people think, oh, I have to eat this certain product to lose weight. People get little snippets of information, but they never really get the big picture, and that is really paralyzing for most people.
And those individuals who get their information from infomercials are in for a world of pain here, because these infomercials will convince you that this little machine, this ab flexor doohickey, will help you lose weight when all it's going to do is lighten your wallet and leave you just as fat as you were before you bought it.
And a lot of these infomercials, even I get convinced. You know, I know it's not true, but by the end of the half-hour commercial, I am convinced that I can do crunches and lose 5 pounds a week just because everyone in this advertisement is telling me this.
Now, hopefully, because you're listening to this show, you are getting education as well. You know, we're not just all about motivation, but we want to give you that base information, that basic what to eat, how much to eat, so you can use that information going forward. You know, it's not enough to just say, oh, you're just going to be awesome and yeah, you're going to do great. You know, that's part of it too, because, you know, a lot of weight loss is emotional, is motivation. But without that basic knowledge, it's really not going to work for you.
That's right. With all the shows that we've done and all the shows that we're planning to do in the future, we have so much information that you guys will now have learned that you are there. Now you just have to apply the knowledge. And one other thing about education, I mean, I have a Bachelor of Education in physical education, and I didn't even know how to calculate calories of how much you're supposed to eat at a certain weight until years after graduating university by reading some diet books. I think the first book that I actually learned about this Harris-Benedict formula was called Business Plan for the Body, and it was, you know, years after. But let's move on to our second reason, which is probably the biggest reason why people don't lose weight even when they're trying.
Right. And that first reason is you are eating too many calories and you are underestimating the number of calories that are in the food you eat. We mentioned a survey of Subway patrons in the past, and this meal that they were estimating at 400 calories was actually over 1,000 calories. And also, a couple shows back, we talked about this book, Eat This, Not That. And that book is ripe with pictures of things that I thought, maybe I looks pretty good, but end up being way more calories than I thought. And you can't go just by looks alone. You got to know what's in there and do the math and figure out if it's something you should eat or not.
That's right. And we're not saying that everyone has to count calories their entire life. And a lot of people refuse to count calories. But whether you do or you don't, you have to have a calorie deficit. If you're not losing any weight over time, it's simply because you're eating more calories than you're burning. And losing weight is really about portion control. And if you're not counting calories, then do the other way and measure your results carefully. So if you think you're cutting back on the amount of food you're eating on a daily basis, how you really measure it is keep careful track of your weight. And if your weight is slowly going down, you're doing great.
Okay, so while you may be eating less, you might be eating more calories. A lot of times when you're eating less, say, amount of food, but you're eating the wrong foods, eating more calories than if you're eating a less calorically dense food, you know, fruits and vegetables, per se. So that you want to make sure you're eating the right foods as well as the right portions.
And I think keeping a food journal is extremely important to find out what you're really eating, because a lot of people just remember, well, I didn't eat too much for lunch, and then so for dinner they eat a little bit more. But people notoriously forget everything that they've eaten throughout the day. Get in that habit of tracking what you're doing, even if you're just tracking portion sizes. You know, I ate a deck of card sized portion of chicken, for example. Just keep it general like that, but just don't forget things that you're eating. And of course, a real big one here is all of the hidden calories that people don't generally count, such as sugar and beverages, condiments with sugar. I mean, look at ketchup. Read the label on a ketchup bottle, and it's tons of sugar. Even supplements. People who take a lot of supplements, they have calories. Look at people who take fish oil. Oil, this is fat. It does have calories in there.
So y'all may also be eating too many simple carbs. You may be eating too much bread. You know, you want to stay with carbs that are complex, that are hard to break down, that are full of fiber, and that's going to be a better choice rather than a white bread. You know, you should not have any white bread in your house if you are having a healthy lifestyle and trying to lose weight. And one of those white breads, like, you do want to avoid, to say, is a croissant. Instead, you know, choose something else for breakfast. Say, have oatmeal. You know, that's the classic. That's very simple, and your complex carb, your oatmeal. The oatmeal is going to stay with you longer. You're not going to be as hungry as soon as if you ate that croissant for breakfast. So choose your carbs wisely.
And of course, the last thing why people eat too much or are eating more than they expect is all of the snacking, eating at night or snacking while they're at work. There's a candy dish at work. These little calories, we talked about how they add up. Remember, 12 to 14 pound difference is only about 80 calories difference per day. That's one handful from the candy dish.
So the next reason why you think you can't lose weight is exercise.
And the biggest exercise failure is not exercising. People are exercising, a lot of people, but it's blowing all of the benefit of their exercise by eating afterwards. Most people overestimate the amount of calories that they burn and then over-reward themselves eating after. Where I work out at the YMCA, they have this little snack bar when people are coming in and out, and people are always stopping off there and getting these healthy bran muffins and these smoothies. And I know for the majority of the people, they're just consuming more of these, quote, healthy calories than they just burned by exercising, you know, doing an aerobics class or swimming. So that is really a big reason. And it kind of goes in with the food. If you exercise, people say, oh, I really have to eat more because I've burned a lot of calories. Don't sabotage all of your hard work.
Also, exercising is a messy business. You need to sweat. So many people will start, say, on the, you see them at the gym, and they get on the Stairmaster, they get on the elliptical, and they kind of call them a lolly dipper. They're just really just kind of going through the motions. They're not really breaking a sweat. They're just kind of moving a little bit. That's not going to do it. You need to sweat. You need to put in the work to burn the calories.
There's actually one woman at my gym, drives me absolutely insane. She carries around a magazine when she's doing weights, and she will push, you know, 8 or 10 repetitions, and she will sit there and read 2 or 3 pages of her magazine before doing the next set. And she's there for a good hour and a half, doesn't break a sweat, just drives me insane. You need intensity.
Another reason why you think you might not be able to lose weight is you're just weaker than you think. Your muscles are not as large, they're not burning as many calories as, say, somebody's been working out for years. And so when you first get started, you might not, say, burn as many calories. You need to go for a longer period of time to burn the same number of calories, say, Jeff does on elliptical.
But these two main reasons, eating more than you think and exercising less than you think, or sabotaging what you are exercising by overeating a little bit after, these are huge. That really affects the caloric balance. Let's move on to the fourth reason that people who are trying to lose weight might not be having success. And that reason is damage from previous diets that they've been on. So what I'm talking about, your body can adapt very quickly and go into starvation mode. Diet after diet where you did low calories and you've lost a lot of muscle mass, your body has adapted to, all of a sudden, as soon as you start to lower your calories, your metabolism slows instantly to keep you from losing weight. It's really just trying to preserve itself. And this is a real common thing from yo-yo dieters.
Yeah, when you go on this low-calorie diet, your body starts shedding muscle. It's looking at the future and saying, I'm going to get 1,200 calories from now on with these low, real low-calorie diets. And it starts shedding muscle. So when it gets to a point that 1,200 calories is okay, your body is emaciated. You have lowered the amount of muscle in your body. You've slowed your metabolism down so much that as soon as you start eating a little bit more, you're going to gain weight.
That's right. And that leads us into our fifth reason why a lot of people have trouble losing weight. And that's because you've hit a plateau. And previous diets have a big impact of how quickly you're going to hit a plateau.
Yeah, you may hit that plateau from eating too few calories, or you've been dieting for a long time.
So your body has figured out that it's losing weight, not necessarily starving, but it's losing weight. And eventually it might kind of kick in and want to slow this down. We did an entire show on how to get out of a plateau, but here is the bottom line of how to do it. You need to eat more calories. You have to get your body right out of this idea that it thinks that it's starving. And that's really all you need to do. You may have to do 2 or 3 weeks of not really having any calorie deficit. And believe it or not, that will get you out of that plateau.
Yeah, it's kind of like resetting the clock, resetting the counter. And you know, as soon as you do that, it's amazing how we've had multiple emails of people who've hit a plateau and we tell them, you know what, eat more food. And we get an email back later, you know, a few weeks, a month, 2 months, saying, you know what, it worked. I ate more calories and I lost more weight. So this is a proven method for getting away from that plateau.
And this is a perfect example of education. When people think that intuitively, well, I should eat less and exercise more, and that will force me to break this plateau because I'm going to have willpower over my body, it really doesn't work out that way. In the end, your willpower will never be stronger than your body's desire to survive. So give it a break, and that will get you out of it.
So the next reason why you think you can't lose weight might be an emotional reason.
And I think everyone, to some extent, is an emotional eater. Even if you don't think you're an emotional eater, our society has us celebrating with food. When we feel bad, we eat food. When we're happy, we eat food. It's just food is so much a part of our society today.
Yeah, so many times that I have found myself eating for emotional reasons or wanting to eat. I know I'm coming home from work and there's this left turn that takes me to a Jack in the Box. But straight ahead takes me home and I find myself, I've turned left for no reason other than I'm feeling a little down or tired or stressed. And you have to snap yourself out of it to get out of that habit of feeding that bad feeling.
I've heard a lot of people say they're eating to fill that hollow feeling in their stomach that they're feeling. And it may or may not be hunger, but they just keep filling it just in case, you know, it might make them feel better. And of course, don't forget boredom. If you've ever just been absolutely bored, a lot of people eat just to pass the time.
Another reason is you might be eating just because it feels good. You know, a little bit of chocolate and just gives you a little high, you know, but it feels better. You'll be able to get a better high when you've reached that goal weight and you are looking good. When you're wearing that size 6 dress or you're wearing that size 34 waist. And that is a way better feeling than anything you're going to get by eating food.
That's right. And the seventh reason we came up with are the motivational reasons. If you really don't want to change the way you look and feel, it will never, ever happen. Other people cannot make you want to change.
And also, you can't outperform your own expectations and beliefs.
So think of this. How many times per day do you say to yourself that you are fat versus how many times per day do you say to yourself something like you're a thin and healthy person? This is a huge difference. And don't get me wrong, you cannot think yourself thin or anything like that, but it is easier and things will get more automatic to do things that are in line with your beliefs. So for example, most people would feel bad if they beat up and stole money from a 3-year-old because we all have a belief that it just isn't right to do something like that. We get that bad feeling in our stomach after doing something bad from our subconscious mind based on our underlying beliefs. Now, in the same fashion, If you're constantly repeating to yourself day in and day out that you are a thin and healthy person, you will start to believe it, and it gets easier and easier to actually do the things that thinner and healthier people do. Attitude does affect beliefs, which can affect the actions that you do. I used to have no problem stopping off at a convenience store and buying a king-size chocolate bar or a large submarine sandwich every single day on the way home from work. If I do that now, I feel bad about it because I have this belief, and I say to myself, people like me don't do that. I believe that I'm a thinner and healthy person, and I actually say that to myself when I get tempted. I will feel just as bad by beating up this little kid and stealing his money as I would walking up to the till with 15 chocolate bars right now, because I believe I'm just not that kind of person. If I believe that I'm a fat person, like I used to be, it's no problem to have chocolate bars up to the till because that's what fat people do. But you kind of get this thing that what I am and what I believe I am doesn't fit with what I'm doing. So that's my psychologizing for the show. Let's move on to reason number 8.
So the last reason why you can't lose weight might be a medical reason.
That's right. And we're not doctors here, so we're not going to go through every possible thing that you might have or medication you might have that might be impacting the ability for you to lose weight. And that is something that you should discuss with your doctor. You should discuss with your pharmacist. There are things that have hormone problems. There is polycystic ovarian syndrome in about 5% of women. And that is something that really needs to be in conjunction with your doctor to help get you treated, to help you be able to lose weight. And as I said, there are medications, and that's something you need to talk to your doctor and your pharmacist about. But there are ways that can be done if you are getting expert medical advice. It doesn't mean just because you have a slow thyroid gland, for example, that you will never be able to lose weight. Yes, you can take medications to speed that up and balance those thyroid problems. And I think it is a small percentage of the population that has medical reasons why it might be a little bit tougher. But if you think that you have a reason, get yourself checked out, get it dealt with, and it will make weight loss a little bit easier.
So like Jeff said in the beginning here of this section, 100% of you out there have the ability to lose weight. And any of these reasons here can be fixed, can be changed to allow you to reach your goal.
Well, let's move on to the recipe of the week.
The recipe this week, it just looked great. I found it just kind of random through stumble upon. It's called the Baked Sweet Potato Chip Recipe, and it's actually a Weight Watchers recipe, and it looks really great. Check out the link in the show notes to try these out. I'm going to do these myself this week. But Jeff, what is our homework for this week?
Well, you know how I got all psychologizing at you? The homework this week is to come up with your own powerful belief statement of where you want to be, and also phrase it in the present tense. My example was, I'm a thinner and healthy person. Come up with something similar for yourself and actually start saying it to yourself several times throughout the day. Your belief will hopefully become your reality.
That's some good psychologizing. So what is our quote for this week?
Well, the quote this week comes from Charles F. Kettering, and it is, our imagination is the only limit to what we can hope to have in the future.
All right. I want to thank everybody that contributed to the show this week by sending in an email or a comment. Really appreciate that. All the show notes are found over at fat2fitradio.com, and we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.
You've pretty much picked our brains clean of what we know.